Welcome to the Boomer Woman's podcast, where we are embracing the journey. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. Sometimes the most interesting conversations begin with something that feels unfamiliar. Not because we expect to agree with everything we hear, not because we're looking to change our minds, but because every now and then we meet someone whose experience invites us to look at life through a different window. My guest today is Zipporah, a life coach whose work focuses on transition, empowerment, identity, and relationships. As we talked, I realized this conversation wasn't really about labels at all. It was about something much more universal, learning to trust yourself, finding the courage to live authentically, and understanding the people we love, even when their experiences differ from our own. We also talk about the special role grandparents can play, the power of curiosity, why inclusion matters, and why it's never too late to become more fully yourself. And somewhere along the way, an A and a Z discovered they had more in common than they expected. Listen now to my conversation with Zipporah Jarman. Today, I'm joined by Zipporah Jarman, a life coach whose work focuses on transition, empowerment, identity, and relationships. Through Within Me Coaching, Zipporah works with people navigating change, sometimes planned, sometimes unexpected, and helping them build self-trust, clarity, and a stronger connection to who they really are. Now, I'll be honest, some parts of today's conversation may feel very familiar to listeners, and some parts may feel completely outside your own life experience. But I think that's part of why conversations like this matter. As grandparents, parents, friends, neighbors, and simply as human beings, we're living in a time where more people feel able to openly express who they are. And while that can sometimes bring confusion, discomfort for people, it also gives us an opportunity to listen, to understand better, and to lead with compassion rather than assumption. Today, we're talking about identity, transitions, relationships, self-expression, and what it means to create a life that feels authentic and aligned. And I'm especially interested in helping bridge understanding between generations, not through debate, but through real conversation. Now, I'm not fluent in some of which we're going to be chatting about. Hopefully, Zipporah will forgive me referencing my notes. Zipporah Jarman, welcome to the Boomer Woman's podcast, where we are embracing the journey.
Wow, thank you for such a intentional and kind introduction. I'm very excited to be here, and I'm looking forward to having this conversation with you.
Well, your profile came up in my Podmatch, and I went, oh, absolutely, because we're several generations apart, and it's just so important. And amongst my own circle, I hear total, yeah, whatever, not a big deal. And then other people who go like, oh my God. So, those are the people that we need to, I don't know if it's educate or whether it's just make them familiar with the reality of life. I don't know what it is, but anyways, let's start simply. Tell us about you and the work you do through Within Me Coaching.
As mentioned, my name is Zipporah Jarman. I'm a self-development coach. Based in Chicago, but I do virtual calls, really all over the world. I've had people in like Saudi Arabia, I've had people in Australia, which is really cool. But in its essence, coaching is really working with someone and trusting their experience about themselves and asking them questions to help them solve their own issues. A great way to think about it is if you're thinking about something that maybe you're working through right now, you can ask yourself, where am I at now as it pertains to this goal or this thing I'm working through? Where would I like to be in, let's say, 3 months? And what's the barrier between that? So, a lot of people, as they listen to that, as humans, we're always moving through something, we're always changing in some way. And so, just those three questions, you should have been able to identify your goal, where you're at now, where you want to be, and then like maybe one thing or two things that came up off the top immediately of like, oh, this has kind of felt like a barrier to me accessing the next step of my progress for this goal. And I love it. I work with a lot of LGBTQ plus people. I work with a lot of BIPOC, which is Black, Indigenous people of color. But all in all, my big goal is to offer resources that we can all benefit from. Usually, when people think of life coaching, they think about executive leadership, which is great. But when we think about accessibility, the people who have access to coaching are often in corporate, white, or rich, right? So, thinking about like, okay, someone who's rich might be Oprah. Oprah has talked about life coaches. Executive leadership through a corporate entity is really common. But the things you can experience during coaching can help any and everybody. So that's a little bit about me, a little bit about the work that I do. So yeah.
What you reminded me of there was, ooh, a year ago, 2 years ago, maybe. I think it was a year and a bit ago. I interviewed a woman who transitioned, ooh, I think she was in her 50s. And we were talking about some of, I don't know, just the shit that was in her head and the stuff that she had to deal with and what she dealt with in her previous life. And at the end of the conversation, I went, you know, we've been talking about transition here, but this is about life. This is the same junk that
Yeah.
everybody goes through. So it's,
Yes.
I just love the fact that you are focusing your attention, I think, I'm going to put words in your mouth here, on a fairly specific niche group who
Yeah.
probably aren't understood by some of the people that are wealthy life coaching, executive coaching things. Yeah,
Yes, yes.
yeah, yeah,
Yeah. I completely agree with just the idea of transition. Like I like to remind people that someone who turned 90 today is their first time being 90. There's still things to learn, right? This is my first year being 35. Sure, I have a lot of experience and a lot of things I've learned from these 35 years, and I will be changing until the day I die, right? And I think that's something that we should all embrace and talk about more, because it's a beautiful experience when you're able to be present with it, as well as able to reflect on how you've changed over the years.
Another story really quickly. A friend of mine, when she turned 50, her son said to her so sincerely, "Mom, you are the youngest 50-year-old I know." And she felt so good about that because she was athletic and this and that. And he said, "Yeah, you've only been 50 for like 8 hours."
Yes, absolutely.
Ah, dear, there we go. Okay, so you say you already have everything within you to thrive.
Yes.
What does that mean in practice?
So what that means in practice is, so if we're so almost actually how I just use that example of where you're at now, where you want to be, what's in the way. Everyone has their own unique experience. So like me and you might have the same goal, but the way that we go about it is different, just based of our li off of our lived experiences and the ways that we would approach things. So for example, the reason why I like to say that like you have everything within you is because as a coach, I'm asking you questions about your experience. So for example, if you're saying that you would like to I don't know, maybe start a club. And I'm like, okay, what club do you want to start? You're already thinking, oh, maybe I want to do bowling. Okay, what opportunities are there in your neighborhood or your city for bowling, right? So now you see like the answers that people give is based off of their own experience. So it's really like you already have all of the answers in your head, but maybe there hasn't been space for you to say them out loud or think the things you think out loud. Or you just having a dedicated space where someone is working with you to figure it out. We figure out so much of our lives by ourselves, of course, because we're thinking. But the reality is that we have all these like file these folders in our brain, and we forget to really pick through them. So it's like I trust that you have the answer somewhere in there, right? And as we continue to talk, you will have these aha moments of recognition, but like, oh, you know what has always been a barrier for me? This. Or, you know what? My dad told me this thing a long time ago. I still tell myself this every day. And what would it look like if I stopped telling myself that, right? So I'm using your life experience and your knowledge of yourself to help you make the steps towards your future.
Forgive me, I'm going to simplify that down into like three lines. Is because as you were talking, I'm thinking, what's what are your goals? It's all out there, it's out there, it's out there. As soon as you say what's standing in your way, what are the barriers, you're going into those files in your head. So often we're looking for everything out there where we need that coach to turn it around and get us back inside our heads, because what did I say? You have everything within you to th thrive. Oh, that's great. I love going full circle.
Absolutely. And I know I definitely can talk in a few circles. The ADHD have taken me,
Oh,
won't
no,
let
that was,
go.
if
But
you hadn't gone the circle, I wouldn't have processed through. So no,
wonderful,
that was not, I wasn't
wonderful.
calling you on your
No, you're perfect. You're perfect. I just like to let people know that I might go on a little venture, but I will make it back to the circle.
You know that I'm going to take a clip out of this conversation where you just said you're perfect, you're perfect. Okay, many of the listeners are navigating big life changes. It could be retirement, it could be loss, it could be health, identity changes. What have you learned about how people move through transition well? Sorry, I talk with my hands. I'm sorry, I'm
Oh, me
always pointing
too.
at you.
We're perfect. I think a couple of things. So I work with people who are navigating a transition and who are anticipating transition. And rarely I work with people who have been through the transition and they're like, what's next? That's usually the more fun side of it because they're like, yeah, this challenging thing happened, but now they're excited. They might be feeling insecure, but they're also like, I have an opportunity to take life, and do something with it. But usually what I find is that people have a lot more resources than they know of. So if someone is just got a diagnosis, and they're trying to navigate what their next month looked like, right? So like, there's all these, whether it's doctor notes, there's medication, but it's all jumbled up again, right? And so oftentimes, especially when it's transition, when I think about transitions, I think about resources. What resources are available to you? All right, let's identify what those are. Let's make a plan to use them and activate them. So what I'm often seeing in short is that a lot of people have a lot of resources to navigate this transition. They just haven't identified it and then put it into practice.
Is it also possibly true that, when I'm in the middle of transition, for example, whatever that transition is, I can imagine what it's like, but I can't live it till I get there. Like, I can't live the reality.
Absolutely. Because again, it's like we're only seeing what's in front of us, right? So even if we can imagine or we have a couple of those bits and pieces, we're still transitioning, right? Transitioning is like, okay, today might look like this and tomorrow might look completely different. And it almost is almost like boxing, right? You gotta go with the flow, you gotta dodge and dive, but you're learning as the process continues. And the great thing I think about life in general is that a lot of those lessons, you might have learned something when you were 40, and then something came up when you were 55 that was similar. You're like, what can I take from the past example that I can utilize in today's experience, right? So it's you do have ways to help yourself along transition the more you experience things, because then you could be like, oh, this really worked well for me. Put it in your little basket. That worked well for me. Oh, that was terrible. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to try that again, right? Because again, we're living people, we're moving every day, but we're learning a lot about ourselves all the time. And sometimes it takes someone to ask you, what did it look like when you navigated this a similar transition in the past? right? So for me, I'm someone who have been divorced, which is very interesting, but it's a life experience that I can say, okay, this is something that I experienced once. This is what was really healing about it. This is what was really hard about this. And now I have all this information that will inform the way I navigate my future relationships.
I won't say what I was thinking. I'm also
Oh, you can
divorced.
say
No.
it.
Now, do people usually trust themselves or not trust themselves when they're going through this? And I realize if they really trusted themselves completely, they probably wouldn't come to you. So, but.
I think the opposite. I can always tell when someone is holding back. If you're coming into a coaching space, you have acknowledged to yourself that you want help getting to where you're going. And so even like I just finished working with a client who didn't trust themselves around having new friendships and community, because historically this person would just be around people and go with the flow. You know, these people didn't have, you know, the same values or interests, but you know, this person was around community, right? And so that ended up, the impact of that ended up being a lot of him experiencing a lot of things, a lot of harm that he that in turn end up making him not trust himself. But he's also done all this work since then. And we start talking about, okay, what does it look like now when you're talking to somebody and there feels like there's not a connection? He's like, oh yeah, I don't even have time for that kind of conversation. I'm like, okay, so let's talk about the differences between who you were then and who you are now. There's this context and this all these examples of how this person has changed. And even though he came into coaching not trusting himself, he was able to realize by having space to talk about the ways he moved about his life differently, that has allowed him to be like, oh, I do trust myself. Like, oh, I am doing things differently. So it's kind of two parts. So one is like, yes, you have to trust yourself, or at least be aware of yourself to know that you're about to enter a space in which you have to be vulnerable. And the other part is, you know, if someone don't trust themselves, it's my job to try to find what that has looked like for them historically, what it looks like now, then whatever comes out of that, we move forward.
Okay, here's one of those questions that you might just say, Agnes, move on.
Yeah,
has there ever been a moment in your own life where you had to sit with discomfort in order to grow?
I grew up. So this is funny that this is kind of coming back to my divorce in a way, but I grew up in a household that was very much, I'm the parent, you're the child, I know best, right? I already know what happened in this situation, right? As a kid, I felt like I didn't have a lot of voice to speak on like my experience or to clarify. And what in turn that looked like as an adult was that whenever there was a conflict or somebody was bringing something up to me, I didn't know how to even have a conversation because I really wasn't given that opportunity to as a child to really talk through what happened and what I'm feeling. And so now I'm in my 20s, my late 20s, and I'm learning this. And I have this moment where I'm like, I am afraid to have conversations that make me feel, you know, a little like there's conflict, but like conversations don't equal qu conflict. So I went to therapy. I've been in therapy for a while, but we talked about that. We talked about my past, the impact of that, what it looks like now. And then at the end of that, we also talked about what do I need? What I need when it comes to having big conversations, courageous conversations, is I need a pen, I need a paper, I need to make sure I am understanding everything this person is saying. It helps me digest, so my brain isn't flooded with whatever, 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 whatever. So yes, absolutely. Like for me, that was a moment in which I really had to be like, okay, I need to take a beat. I need to grow, but this is uncomfortable. Like who wants to at 31 be like, I can't have a clear, concise conversation with a partner or with a parent, because I don't know how to communicate my feelings or ideas clearly or cohesively, or I'm scared to. Like, that's uncomfortable, but you got to do the work if you want to keep the relationships, right? And so.
Okay, I'm going to play mom here for a moment. The advice I had for my kids, or what I told my kids, is you can disagree, you can question, you can do all those things. As soon as you're rude, you're wrong. So there you go.
There
You
you
can
go.
just
There
just
you
don't be
go.
rude, and that's good. And if they
Yes.
get rude, they're wrong. You know, same
Yes.
thing applies. Yeah. So.
I have very simple rules, which is, treat me with respect. I will always treat you with respect. But if there's no respect, then we don't really have space to coexist.
Exactly, yeah. Now, you work with people around identity, how we see ourselves and how we express that. For someone who's spent decades being who they were expected to be, where does that exploration even begin?
The exploration begins with them realizing this is the carve that, or this is the path that was carved out for me. And actually, I've always bumped against the railings. What do I want my life to actually look like? What do I want my life to actually feel like? It's once you start realizing that actually, I don't fit in this cookie mold, right? That's where it starts. I have a friend who had top surgery. So for the people who don't know, some people who have breasts opt into having them removed consensually for their gender identity to align with their body. And my friend made this comment, and they go, people who enjoy having breasts don't think about having them chopped off. And it's kind of that same thing where it's like, oh, you're told that like you're born as a woman. You're supposed to have your body's supposed to have these, breasts or whatever the case may be, but they don't feel right. So it's like, oh, I'm in this cookie cutter mold, but I don't fit. Once that awareness starts happening, again, people who enjoy their body and have in the parts that's on their body don't ever think about them not being there. I was like, oh no, oh, that's so real. Because I could ask many women, and many women would be like, no, I wish they were bigger or smaller, but not gone, right? And so I know that's a very specific example, but it's that moment that you're like, oh, I don't fit here, or this is not what I actually want. That's the first step, the acknowledgement and being aware of it. And then the next question is, what am I going to do about that?
Okay, and does it, was going to say, does it include, but I'm going to rephrase that. When they just know that the shape of the cookie, the little gingerbread woman or man, isn't the right shape, do they usually know what the right shape is, or does that take exploration?
Exploration, just like any other component of our lives as we are learning about ourselves, right? The person that maybe you are today, it might not be the person you were 5 years ago, right? There might be ideas, there are ways that you think about things today that are different than 20 years ago, right? It's just as we grow, we get more pieces of the puzzle. And so to your point of, or to your question of what's the first place we're starting, it's in the awareness and acknowledgement. We got time and life to figure out what happens next, but we're getting the little pieces of the cookie crumbs, and we're like, oh, I am being told that I should be this, or that I should fit into this mold, and I don't. That's step one.
There we go. Sometimes I feel like we need to leave these little pregnant pauses. Now, I don't know if you've ever, I don't know who your client list is, if you've ever talked to people. I was going to say reconnecting, but maybe just connecting with their own truth later in life. What does that look for them, if you can answer that question?
Yeah, so I do some volunteer work at this place called Affinity Community Services, which is, it's been around for about 30 years, founded by a bunch of Black lesbians and bisexual women. And it's still great today. So now we have what we call these peer-led groups. So groups who meet once a month to be in community. We have them for a lot of different things, but we have like our trailblazers, which are like 60 plus. Yeah, 50 plus, we have 40 plus, 30 plus, all of the things. We do a lot of intergenerational things as well. And so I have not coached someone specifically one-on-one in that age demographic, but I have been a part of a panel about like feeling sexy while aging. And what we talked about more was about like identifying what our bodies want, identifying what our bodies can do. And then carving out space to explore that. And so that's really what the only experience I have around people who are my senior. But yeah, so that's the only example I have in that context for coaching.
Okay, I'll turn this around a wee bit. Many of our listeners are parents and grandparents. Watching younger generations express in ways that feel unfamiliar, I like to ask this question whenever given the opportunity because I know in my case, my 16-year-old grandson, if he had questions or information that he wanted to give to the world, he might come to me. First, I mean, he's got a great relationship with his parents, but there's something about the grandmother grandparent relationship. So if a child comes to a grandparent, starts talking in a way, expressing identity, shall we say, in a way that's unfamiliar, what would you want the grandparent to understand? And I don't mean intellectually, but emotionally.
Emotionally, I'd want the grandparent or whoever to understand that your grandchild see you as a safe person, someone that they can share themselves with. That's one, right? Like, two, I'd say I'd encourage people to be curious. I feel like curiosity is really helpful because it allows you to understand versus, maybe asking pointed questions or giving your opinion. So one, just recognizing, hey, this baby that I love, this young person, trust me enough to share this part of themselves with me. And two, hey, I don't know what the heck they're saying, but maybe I could ask some questions about it so that I can understand more. It's you're opening up space to understand their experience. That would be the advice.
My next question was going to be, how does someone move from confusion and discomfort to curiosity and connection? And I guess the one thing that, like, I mean, just because I'm the only grandmother that I can experience talk about experience about, is just whatever is in the air, whatever's in your head is I love you. You know, it's. I guess that's where I would tend to start. And then, yeah, I guess asking questions is not invasive then. Is that correct?
I think it depends on the person, but even a question like, tell me more about that. What do you mean? Or like, when did you start feeling that way? What feels good to you about knowing this, right? Just open-ended questions. People, if someone's coming to you, especially a family member, a young person coming to you to communicate, because young people do not like talking. But if they're cracking open a door, you know what I mean? And so really understanding that this is an opportunity to connect. And so yes, some people, I feel like if that is already happening, then more than likely this young person, yeah, wants to connect. They want to talk to you. So ask some questions. And if they don't want to answer, they might be like, I don't know, or I don't want to talk about that, right? They might, or right now, and they might move on. But just know that that door they cracked open for you for connection.
Well, is it possibly true too that because you are such a safe person, they're practicing for how to talk to their parent?
Yeah, possibly. And I will speak really quickly on my experience with my grandmother. She passed, ooh, about a decade ago, but I knew her as an adult, and our birthdays were 3 days apart, so we were like that. And she was always so excited to see me. I dress in a more masculine way, and she'd be like, "Ooh, Zippy, I love that top. Ooh, I love that color on you." And just her seeing me as a person, she loved fashion. So her just seeing me as a person who she liked her, my clothes and she loves me, like that was affirming to me as a young person. That made me feel safe with my grandmother to tell her things or to call her when I lived in Vegas to just check in, I think there's a lot of value in just, loving on your young people and letting them share when they're feeling safe enough to.
Yeah. It seems like I'm hopping around a little bit here, and I guess I am, but you don't use pronouns. Do you mind sharing the thinking behind that choice?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so pronouns in short, there's a lot of different kinds, but when we were talking about pronouns, we're talking about if I'm using she, her, or he, him. Some people use they, them. I choose not to. I feel like, though I have no problem using they, them pronouns for other people, my gender identity, I identify as non-binary, which means that I don't really identify as a gender, more specifically, a gender. So, of course, whenever we have a in front of a word, that means without. And so I don't necessarily feel like a woman. I definitely don't feel like a man. I'm just myself. And so I don't use any pronouns. And what that looks like in practice, I usually like to give two examples. I go by Zipporah. I also go by Z. As you can imagine, I have a lot of nicknames. So the first example is Zipporah. I went to the ice cream or went to the Zipporah went to the grocery store and grabbed and I can't even say it right now. Zipporah went to the store and Z grabbed ice cream. So interchanging Zipporah and Z as my pronouns, or Zipporah went to the grocery store and grabbed ice cream. So almost just plucking out that second usage, you can always rearrange a sentence to use less pronouns. But for me, I'm just me. And there's no better way to refer to me than as Zipporah. And so that just felt best. I a couple of years ago started trying it out and I love it. I don't think now whenever someone uses a pronoun for me, I'm like, are they talking to me? They talk about me? Oh, it's kind of like funny now because it's like, oh, I'm so used to not hearing myself referred to as she or he. Strangers will, but in my community, I'm like, yeah, I'm just Zipporah. I'm just Z.
I will admit that I love seeing, and it's usually young people, when I look at them and I can't tell if they have a gender. And I just think there's one less thing to judge this person about, you know? And oftentimes, if a person is dressing non-genderly, they're usually styling in some way,
Aren't
you
they?
know? And so yeah, I must admit, I really appreciate that. And what a fun world it could be if I'm talking to somebody later today and I say, oh yeah, you know, like Z did this and Z did that, and then A asked about that, you know, A for Agnes. You know, we could have fun with this.
Yeah, absolutely. Going back to the place I volunteer at, there is this person named Phyllis. I think she's 80, and I love Phyllis. I have adopted Phyllis as my adopted grandparent. And Phyllis, we were talking about pronouns and stuff at one of the little events, and they were like, you all gave me confidence to use both she and they pronouns. Like I've never fully felt like a woman. But now I'm using they pronouns. And so this person's again like 80 and like last year just started using they pronouns. And we're like, yay, congratulations. But it is fun and it's sweet to tend to people as they see themselves. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, and the message I really want to impress upon our listeners is Phyllis is 80. It is never too late.
Yeah.
Yeah, even if
You
you've
know who
spent
you are.
79 years being who the world expected you to be, who society expected you to be, it's like, now claim your truth.
Yeah. And I feel like for me, a big part of me being able to be someone who claims my truth is my mom used to say this thing to me as I was when I was a kid. I don't think that the impact of it was what she was desiring. But she used to say, when you're born alone. When you die alone, right? Your life is based off of the decisions you make for yourself. And for me, that meant like, if this is the only life I know of, I'm aware of, like I need to ensure that when I lay my head down at night, I'm doing stuff that reflects who I am internally, who I want to be. Like I need there to be alignment, because if I'm going to bed and I'm stressing about all these things that people want me to be and do, like this is my life, I was born alone, and on that last day it will just be me also. I won't look back and be like, yeah, I was just me, and I lived the life that is aligned to what my soul wanted, so it's never too late to be like, you know what, I'm gonna blow this my life up a little bit and be myself, because I promise you, when you get to the other side of it, you're going to be so happy you did it.
Well, and again, I'm going to impress that, like women in their 50s, 60s, 70s, they have spent decades being the wife, the mother, the employee, the possibly the daughter. Like they've not had the opportunity to live who they are. Maybe they did, for a couple of years in their teens or early 20s or something, but then they got caught up in societal roles. And so once again, yeah. You also work in relational polyamory, which for many in my audience may feel a little like a completely different framework. But at its core, are there relationship principles that actually apply to all of us?
Absolutely. I like to tell everybody that we all have the capacity to practice holding and maintaining multiple relationships. Think about your family. You maintain relationships with your parents, your siblings, your children, your grand, like everyone has the capacity to hold relationships, right? Now, whether you're monogamous or not, up to you. But, when I am talking, so I run a 6-week cohort called Thriving in Polyamory. Every week we discuss a topic. I give questions, like prompts for them to answer, and then we talk about them. But we talk about boundaries, we talk about agreements, we talk about communication, conflict, jealousy. All of these things that everyone experiences, right? And yes, it's in this framework of polyamory, and a lot of people use these frameworks that we talk about when it comes to whatever relationship, right? What are my boundaries? What am I willing to do today? What am I not willing to do? How can I communicate that clearly? What are ways I have not shown up great in communication? What ways have I shown up great in communication? Right? Like, these are all principles that we all experience. And honestly, principles and questions that we should be asking ourselves in general. It's just when I'm usually asking these questions, it's to people who are dating more than one person, or who desires to, or who's trying to re-understand their desires as it pertains to this practice. But there's a lot of overlap, because I'm looking at this from a we all have relationships. We all have the capacity for relationships. We all need to invest in ourselves in order to sustain the relationships we want. So.
So you went there, even though you can't see my notes. But I'm going to dig a little bit deeper because long-term couples, like at my age, some people have been married for like literally decades. What can they learn around communication and boundaries?
The book is wide open, honestly, because even I know I throw a lot of questions out because that's my job
Yeah,
to ask
no, for sure,
questions.
yeah.
But even when if you ask yourself, What has communication looked like historically for me? What ways have I shown up positively in communication? What ways have I shown up negatively in communication? We got so much information that probably just came out just now that people are thinking about. And so again, having the space to answer those questions and to think about them, for me, ways that I have not shown up great in communication is not saying anything because I didn't know how to, right? For me, there's a lot happening, but I'm not showing up great in this conversation with said person. Having that information and then saying, okay, what do I want to do differently? That's how you identify something and start taking the steps forward, right? So, yeah, the context or the content of what is discovered is up to the said person and their experience. But the thing that coaching provides is the space and the question. And so it's really, for me, it's always going to come back to questions. It's always going to come back to what your experience is. And you can absolutely change your boundaries. We change our boundaries all the time, right? Like, the boundaries I had 5 years ago is not the boundaries I have today. That's because my life looks different. So 5 years ago, I was like, hey, I cannot have complicated conversations late at night. The person that I'm with now, we don't argue. Like we have had some misunderstandings and we have had conversations, but we don't argue. This person do not bring things up at 11 o'clock at night, for example, right? So like, I don't have that boundary because there's not a need for it. So, like, what am I needing, or what is someone needing when it comes to personal time? What does, self-care look like? What does a day full of you look like, right? It's really thinking about you answer these questions to almost build your own map of information that centers you. You have more information now. And now you say, hey, I want to do this with this information that I learned about myself. I know that was very long-winded,
No,
but
because I'm
yes.
going to expand just a wee bit, only take it out of your bailiwick and say that, I can hear a few women going, I've been married for 40 years. Like when he gets on my case about this, I've always done that. And if that person isn't comfortable with that, then they do perhaps need to look at counseling and maybe couples counseling, that sort of stuff. So not your bailiwick, I know, but I'm just putting it out there. So
Let me just say really quickly that in order to work with a coach, you should have went through therapy or be in therapy. Therapy is great because it helps you understand and move through your past experiences, traumas, right? The all the things that made you who you are today, therapy helps you look back at that, assess that, and emotionally move through it. So you have to have that context. You can't look in the future if you don't know where you're coming from, right? So yes, to your point, a lot of times people need therapy. Sometimes I'll have a potential new client and we're talking and I'm like, so this is great talking to you, and it sounds like you need a therapist. I have a recommendation that I think would be great for you. I can connect you to, and when you're at a good point, I'd be happy to pick this back up and move forward. But you gotta move back first. So yes, to your point, there's a lot of tools. It's what do I need right now? Is it therapy? Is it coaching? Is it counseling? Is it consulting? Mentorship? All of the things.
So, if someone is feeling a little bit stretched from this conversation, but also intrigued, my question was, where do you suggest they begin? But maybe you've partially answered that by saying professionals.
I mean, if someone
Sorry, I
is,
put words in your mouth and I apologize. I shouldn't. Where
no.
would you suggest they begin?
Well, I think it is, if what are they working on? And so if it's like, oh, I need to move through this emotional or traumatic thing that happened, therapist, if you're like, hey, I'm moving through this transition, or I want to do this in a few months, a coach, right? And so there are options though. You can, like I mentioned, I rambled off a few other options earlier, but like a consultant, right? A consultant is great for business stuff. A mentor is great for, we can all be mentees at any point of our lives, right? But if you're, I guess, just identifying what do you want. If you're moving through something emotionally, therapy. If you're moving through a goal or something you're working towards, a coach. But my doors are always open, and I am very intentional about not coaching people who need therapy because that does not align with my values. And so if I notice that you need to kind of go through some things and move through some past experiences, with love, I will refer you out, and I will see you soon.
Okay. You have a term, growth with stability. What does that look like in real life?
I feel like growth with stability looks like living the life that you desire and knowing that you always have autonomy somewhere. And so the stability is more coming from within, and like the confidence and the almost like knowing like this is who I am. It's like the peace of it. So like, yeah, there are obstacles that will come to us every day or every week, whatever the case may be. But like, if you're at peace with who you are, if you're living the life you desire, yes, that obstacle will come, you will grow through it, but you will be stable because you're at peace. And I think as humans, it's important for us to live the life that's most authentic to who we are. Because then we know how to, what is the word? It's such a simple word too. How to meet a conflict or a challenge. So yeah, I hope that answers.
Yeah. If we stripped away all the labels, identity, roles, expectations, what would we discover about ourselves?
I think we discover that we're a bunch of little weirdos sharing
I resemble that remark.
We're just little weirdos, and we're just trying to figure it out. And there's things that work and things that don't. And we're just existing.
You told me more about yourself by how you came alive with the ability to strip away all the labels than anything you've said so far.
We're just here every day. We've been given a lot of rules to live within, based off of terrible things. But if all that was stripped away, there would be a lot more freedom. I don't know if there would be a lot more peace, but there would be a lot more freedom.
Hopefully, there'd be a lot more laughter.
Yeah. A lot more laughter and a lot more acceptance, right? Without all these rules of who we are, who we should be. It's like, oh yeah, Jimmy down the street. Yeah, I saw her in a dress the other day and she looked beautiful. Like, we're just all weird and we just want to live a good life and not be judged and be happy.
Okay, here's one of my final questions, and you just used the big word. I had a guest some time ago call me on my use of the word acceptance, said it was not good enough. The word that we need is inclusion. Can you go there in your own words too, please?
I love inclusion. I don't know if there's
I mean, I
anything.
think there's a place for both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And your word was, can you remind me one more time?
Well, just acceptance versus inclusion, like for people
Yeah.
out there.
So acceptance, in my understanding, is being like, okay, if that's the life you want to live, cool. I think inclusion is like, oh, that's the life you want to live? Let's invite you in, right? Let's invite you into our space. We're going to ask you, what do you need to feel comfortable? What do you need to feel seen? You're considered. You're not just accepted.
There you
That's
go. Okay, I'm just looking at the clock. Is there anything we haven't talked about that you want mid-age women to think about as they listen to this conversation?
all. I'd encourage you to think about what are you desiring in life right now, and what's the first step to get there. I know that your audience have lived a lot of life, and that's really beautiful. And we as humans always want something. We always have desires, and I just want to encourage everyone to listen to yourself, listen to what your desires are, and take that first step. Sounds easy, but sometimes it's hard. But I believe in you all. You can do it. I'm rooting for you all. So go ahead and make little changes towards the future of your life.
I love talking to people who, whatever the phrase is that comes out of their face, is it prompts something. And what prompted just then was the fact that sometimes we are the hub of our life, and sometimes we're a spoke in life. And yeah, just maybe the ability to recognize the difference. I don't know why that thought came. It just happened.
I think especially as like women or people who are socialized as women, we're told to step aside for motherhood, for husbands, for work economy, for whatever, right? So people like us are that's always in your head, right? Okay, I'm a grandmother now. I have to make sure that the grandbaby's okay. I gotta admit, da da da. What are you desiring? What do you want? If you want community and you want to play a board game once a week, do that. My best friend and I, we've been meeting every Wednesday night for the last decade. We order food, we talk about life. You might have a drink. That's what we want to do. Remember that you have autonomy over your whole life. You could do whatever you want. You can make up rules. Do it. Have a great time. You deserve that. You deserve to center yourself.
There's going to be a meme on Instagram sometime in the next month that says exactly that. Okay. Where do we find you on the World Wide Web?
Withmecoaching.com. If you are on Instagram or TikTok, it's also withmecoaching. I also give free discovery calls for my first call with a new client. I do sliding scale. I do some pro bono as well. So please just say Agnes sent you, and I'll be like, great, me and Agnes are we're locked in now. So yeah, thank you so much for having me here today.
Oh, we're not done.
Oh, well, I was just saying it to say it.
Can I ask you a personal question before
Thank
we close?
you. Yeah, of course.
You've been creating art for at least the last 20 years of your life. Tell us
Yeah.
about your art.
I was not expecting this question.
I stalk people.
Yes. I've been drawing since I was 8, and I'm 35 now. At first, I doodled a lot, but I make portraits, stippling portraits with pen.
Okay, so no, stop there. Stippling is when you just do the dots.
All the dots,
Oh, I've seen people do that. That's amazing.
yeah. And it's cool because I have portraits of myself from the age of 14 up to the age of 33, maybe. It's so cool to be able to look at all the like iterations of myself as I continue to grow. And so that's cool. I do a lot of different sketches. I like a lot of textured art that I create. But as of lately, I just started sculpting with clay, which has been super cool. I just finished my second class. So right now I'm creating this figure with wings who's like it's supposed to represent balance. But I love it. It's been really beautiful to re-tap into something that's always been there, and to explore art in a way that is different than how I've been engaging in it. So I love this question. I am literally today, I'm going to maybe in an hour start sculpting. That's my like reward to myself for like doing work today.
Is it
Is doing
Zen?
art. Huh?
Is it Zen for you?
Yeah, it's something, it's like I'm tapped in and like hours are flying by. And I haven't experienced that since I was a kid and I played basketball. I used to make over 100 shots a day. I wanted to be a professional basketball player. But you just kind of get into this rhythm and you're so, I'm just literally just holding and carving and smoothing. And, I have to make sure that when I'm sculpting, I have hours ahead of me to do nothing because I will lose it in a second.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's Zen then, that's for sure. Just
I
get
love
into
it. Thank you
your
for
own
asking.
space.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay, your website link is in the show notes. All of your links are on your page at our website. Listeners, I'd love to hear from you. What part of this conversation stayed with you? And what challenged you? Or what has helped you see things a little differently? Let us know. If this conversation gave you a new perspective or reminded you of the importance of understanding across generations and lifestyles, please share it with someone in your life. These are the conversations that quietly make a difference. If you're not already following the Boomer Woman's podcast, I'd love to have you join us. Each week, we explore what it really means to create your next chapter with honesty, curiosity, and heart. If you'd like to listen early, I release each episode on Substack on Wednesday evening before it goes live everywhere else. Zipporah Jarman, thank you for being my guest today, for inviting us into a conversation that asks us to stay open, stay curious. I loved it when you used that word, and perhaps most importantly, stay human with one another. Thank you for that.
Yes, thank you for having me. I had an incredible time having this conversation with you.
Have a great rest of week.
You too.